with me, please. I know you're awake. It would be because it is working. And he has no defense against it. Sitting in his foxhole with his little bullhorn saying, throw down your weapons, you idiot. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You might as well give up because it's not working. And the only reason he's saying that is because he's out of bullets. And we take our gun and we say, oh, okay, you're probably right. And we stop. We just give up. The Bible has so much to say about persistence. I'll tell you, the only time that you can stop legitimately praying about something is when God himself tells you. And he hardly ever does that. Okay, pray in the Spirit, deliberately, under the influence and the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Last week I read you one of my very favorite scriptures, and because it has really broad import. It's the two verses right before our favorite Romans 8:28. It's Romans 8:26 and 27. And that whole chapter 8 is talking about God making up for what we're not able to do, God doing things we can't do, God having demonstrated how much he loves us, and that when we were helpless, he did all the hard stuff. He did the heavy lifting. And in Romans 8:26 and 27, which I'm going to read from my Amplified Bible, it says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, because we don't know what prayer to offer nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf. The NIV says, intercedes for us with unspeakable yearnings, groanings too deep for utterance, literally groanings which cannot be expressed in words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. One of the reasons to pray in the Spirit, is Paul lays it out here, is I don't know what to pray for. I need help. That's why he's been given to me. Remember, Jesus said he is our helper. That's why he's there. The Holy Spirit doesn't come into my life just to sit there. He's active, but he'll only be as active as I allow him to be. When we get to Galatians, the end of Galatians on Wednesday nights, where we start talking about the conflict between my fleshly instinct and my fleshly way of doing things and the Spirit of God, we'll realize they're at war with each other. That the impulse of one is fighting against the impulse of the other. I have the choice over who I yield to. Bad habits are I yield to my flesh. I've been doing it my whole life. The good habit is I stop doing that and I start yielding to the Holy Spirit. And he leads me in the right way. I wrote four things down today that I wanted us to talk about what praying in the Spirit, deliberately influenced by, led by, empowered by the Holy Spirit, four ways that I've seen in Scripture what that looks like. Number one is, they're not in any particular order, but since I just read that Scripture from Romans, I'll talk about those groanings. I looked the word up. It simply means inarticulate sounds. It's on the sliding scale audibly from sighing, which the Amplified Bible says, unspeakable yearnings. To me, that's quieter than a sigh. You can hear a sigh. A yearning, you can't hear that. All the way to the groaning, And the adjective that modifies it is a word that simply means something that is inexpressible with words. That I have the Holy Spirit in me, who can interpret even a groaning if that's all I can do? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you could not think of the right thing to say? Oh, yes, you have. I know you have. If you're normal, you have. You ever groaned? Have you ever groaned purposefully? Have you ever groaned in a Godward direction? Next time, try that. Because it's that little simple little mechanism of saying, I don't know what to say, Lord, so I'm about to groan, so I just need the Holy Spirit to translate this. And I do the thing. And if you were standing by God hearing what he hears, what you would hear is, now, Father, what Bob is saying right now is, I'm ugly and nobody likes me. I wish people would get out of my face. I wish I had a different job. I don't want to be the pastor today. And I don't have enough money and blah. I never will. I'm a loser and I'm probably losing my mind. Blah, 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 blah. Because that's the thing that's in me that I don't know how to articulate. When I first saw these scriptures, I realized, you're kidding me. Because prayer was another thing that was always on my shoulders growing up in legalism. You had to have just the right prayer. I've heard people say, from the same background I came from, that God cannot answer your prayer unless you're specific. And he's taking notes. So what model of Mercedes was it that you want, and what equipment? Often we pray like we're reading God the news. It's because we don't know him very well. Oh, God. There's this guy named John. I'm pretty sure his name is John. He just fell and broke his left arm. Oh, you know what? God, it could have been his right arm. And he's taken to the hospital, and I think it's made medic. Could be miles, it could be mid-coast. I'm not, and God is frantic, and he's sitting here, and he's scratching things out, and he's saying, you know, which arm was it, you know, and, you know, how am I going to, isn't that, that's the way I've seen people pray. That's the way I used to pray. Like, I better be sure I get this right. It's way easier than that. By the way, where Scripture does talk about being specific, that's not for God's benefit. That's for our benefit. I need to say things specifically sometimes. Sometimes it is appropriate simply to groan or to yearn because I don't have the words. I am so grateful that God has given me his Holy Spirit that he is able to translate that. In fact, it is the Spirit within me that's doing the groaning. And I need it. I'll tell you, there was a period of time, a long period of time, after my wife left and all the bad stuff happened. I still look back and I think there was a period of a couple of years there. I don't know how I made it through that. I was carried. That's the only thing. I've listened to Bible studies on tape that I taught back then, and I thought, man, this guy's good. But on the way to church, I was saying, my brain is empty. I cried myself to sleep for almost 3 years, every single night. And I would be on my way to church saying, Lord, I can't do this. I have nothing to give. And he would say, well, you want me to help? And I would say, and he would give me the words. And he carried me. Prayer is not one of these things where you have to convince God or inform God. He's on your side. And you've been given the Holy Spirit. The one that'll probably get me in trouble with some people, because Paul talks about praying in the Spirit as praying in an unknown language, about the gift of praying in an unknown language. We sit in an awkward position on this subject because with all of the wide variety of Baptist churches that there are, most of them believe that those particular gifts of the Spirit are not for today. They expired. We don't need them. And the Pentecostals that sit way at the polar extreme opposite say, no, you have to have this particular gift. In fact, the two predominant Pentecostal denominations in this state, one says that you don't have all that God wants you to have unless you have this gift of speaking in other languages that you don't know. And another one says you're not even a Christian if you don't have that gift. I think we sit where the Bible sits. The gifts of the Spirit are, I believe, still for today. I see nothing, no real biblical basis to say that they've expired. We do need them. However, the way that they're practiced and implemented, especially in Pentecostal churches, which are Pentecostal by virtue of the fact they emphasize these things, we can't line up with that if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So technically what happens, we get shot at from both sides, from extremists on both sides. Interestingly, the last time that I talk about this, and I only talk about it when we come into Scripture, when we come to that place in Scripture, last time I did, we have a friend of mine who's a Baptist pastor was here. And bless his heart, he's a good guy. And he came up to me afterwards just because he knew how freaked out I was. And he came up and he said, I just want to tell you something. He said, I didn't hear you say anything that I don't agree with. And I said, and you get shot at from both sides too, don't you? And he says, absolutely. You take a position of balance on this, which I believe is the scriptural one, and you're going to get people upset with you. In fact, some people throw away their scholarship completely, even in commentaries that I've read. They're really good on every subject until they get to this. And then they toe the denominational line or the party line. One of my favorite Bible teachers, John MacArthur, went on the radio and said, a person that speaks in tongues, like the Bible describes here, is either crazy or demon-possessed. And I thought, John, man, I wish he hadn't said that. He didn't say, this is my opinion. And I thought, well, then you paint me and a bunch of other people that believe this gift is for today and God's given this particular gift, and you paint us into a corner because I know I'm not crazy. I don't think I'm demon-possessed. So that means either I'm right and you're wrong, or you're wrong and, well, you know what I mean. When Paul talks about this, I just want to read you one scripture because I think he nails it down, I think, pretty tight. In 1 Corinthians 14, where Paul's talking about this particular gift, which, if you remember when we studied Acts, it's when the Holy Spirit fell on the early church. And people, it says, began to praise God in unknown tongues, which is just the word for language. I don't know why I'd rather say language than tongue, because people kind of weird out just by the word. Remember in Tel Aviv on our Israel tour? We're going through the food line, and we got to the meat table, and there was this strange dish called beef language. And we think, beef language? What is that? And what we came to understand was that it was beef tongue. They just mistranslated the word. But that's what the word means. And when it speaks of speaking in an unknown language, it means it's unknown to you. It means God, by the Holy Spirit, sovereignly gives you the ability to express yourself to him in a language that you previously did not know. Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe, that's what gets Pentecostals mad at me, I believe he's discouraging the use of that gift in public because it's confusing to some people. He doesn't discourage it privately. In fact, the scriptures I'm going to read you, he talks about his own personal experience. In one place he says that I'm glad for this gift. I may be more glad for it than anybody is, because I need it. So, 1 Corinthians 14, verses 14 and 15, Paul describing his own experience. If I pray in an unknown language, My spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive, without understanding. It bears no fruit, helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit that's within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and my understanding. And then he repeats the same phrase, speaking about singing in the spirit and intelligently. And I don't want to get into a whole theological discussion, but I believe firmly, I'm convinced. This is one of the things when I left the Pentecostal church 40 years ago, I threw all of that experience away. And I said, this is bogus. I saw so many weird things. But then when I began reconstructing my theology based on scripture, I realized that the fact that a gift was misused didn't mean that it was a bad gift. That perhaps there was a right way to do things, and all I had saw was that it was misused. Paul says that not everybody has this gift, and so I don't think that in my list of four ways of praying in the Spirit, this may not apply to everybody here. I know some people in this church have that particular gift. I do. I'm grateful for that. I know this about every spiritual gift. God doesn't give spiritual gifts because you're special. And I'm going to say this, put myself right up in front. He gives spiritual gifts to us because we're not special. He gives it to us because we need them. I also have seen people who said, well, Lord, if this is something that you want me to have, then I want it. And then God decides. God's the one that decides who gets what. It's not wrong to ask. Some people he does, some people he doesn't. I just think that the language here, it sounds so similar to the thought of what he says in Romans. In fact, I've heard some people who get hung up on the whole tongues thing, that they try to say that Romans 8, 26, and 27 is saying the same thing. But linguistically, you can't go there, because in Romans, it's talking about the Holy Spirit helping me when I want to say what needs to be said to God can't be expressed in words. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is saying it can be expressed in words, just not through my thought processes and not through the language that I speak. So God helps me. He allows my spirit. He gives me the ability to express to him articulately, even though in my conscious mind, I don't understand what I'm saying. It's like groaning. I just made a deal with the Lord. Lord, I don't know what to say right now. I feel like I need to say something. I'm going to make a deal. I'm just going to yield to the Holy Spirit, and he's going to do what needs to be done. If you don't have that particular gift, then this, none of that applies to you. But I believe if you're going to do it, even a cursory glance at 1 Corinthians 14 and look at Scripture, that has to be included under the category of praying in the Spirit. At least for people with that gift. Nobody got up and left, so okay. We'll keep going. The third thing on my list of praying in the Spirit has to do with what we read back in verse 17 about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I'll just ask you if this has happened. I think this is very close to what Francis said this morning. When you're praying and you're in a certain frame of mind and you're calling out to God, good for you, even if you're panicking, even if you're freaking out, at least you're talking to God about it. And all of a sudden the promise of God or some statement from Scripture, the Psalms, he uses the Psalms a lot for me, but the Holy Spirit pops a Scripture into your head and you say that out loud. I always think it's a good idea when you're praying to talk about stuff that God's already said he wants to do. I feel a lot safer on that ground when God's already made a promise And then in my prayer, that promise comes out of my mouth. I believe that's the rhema of God, the word of God that's given to me right now. I believe that that's by the Holy Spirit that that happens. Of course, he can't do that if the word of God's not in there. It's like trying to get stuff out of your computer that hasn't been programmed in. And that's one of the reasons we spend so much time getting God's word into us. Has that ever happened to you, where you've been praying, and I've had many people tell me, I remember what you said, Joe, about being out shoveling snow and finding yourself singing songs and being blessed by the songs that you're singing because they're God's word. They're promises. They're statements that God's made in his word about who he is. And yeah, it's coming out of your mouth, but it's blessing you because it didn't come from you. It came from the Spirit of God that's in you, allowing you to say those things. I found that for me when I'm praying in line with the Spirit because he's speaking the promises of God to me, I say it out loud. I have to. I need to hear it. I don't need to just say it. Man, that's happened to me so many times. That's music is really great for that. That's why we sing so many songs that have scripture in them. The Holy Spirit can bring that back to my remembrance when I need it. The fourth thing about praying in the Spirit, it may sound like a no-brainer, but it's interesting that we just talked about this right before church, some of us out in the lobby. It's what I call on-the-spot praying. It's sort of the praying without ceasing kind of praying. It's exactly the opposite of formality. You probably know somebody like this. Once somebody comes to realize that God is listening and he loves them and he wants them to talk to him, usually it's new Christians. Once in a while, a church person comes to realize that and revolutionizes their life. Interestingly, that those people can't shut up. They talk to God about everything. I remember standing putting gas in the back of my 56 Volkswagen panel bus. You knew I had one of those, didn't you? With surf racks on the top of it, big fat tires and white spoke wheels. Sitting there putting 49 cents a gallon gas, thinking, who in the world would ever pay 49 cents for a gallon of gas? What's this world coming to? And I'm standing there, and I had just been listening to on my little transistor radio some Bible study, and I was just in the Spirit. It was wonderful. And the lady in the little Toyota Corolla next to me couldn't get her gas cap off. And you know what my first instinct was? Well, let's pray about this. And I said something out loud, and she didn't mace me, but she looked like she wanted to, about, you know, oh, Jesus, please help her to get that gas cap off. It was an instinct. I still pray at football games. I know that's crazy. I mean, I prayed during the Super Bowl, and I know there are Christians on both sides. I've met some of the Christians and the Giants, although I deeply resent them being on that team. But it's when you have that instinct, I have to talk to Jesus about this right now. Let me tell you something. That always comes from the Holy Spirit. There may be an appropriate way to do it and an inappropriate way, but the instinct is always from the Holy Spirit.